Thank you for joining us as we discover nothing but the truth with David Johnston.
All right, tonight we're in Psalm number 16. Here we go. Are you ready? Get your teaching notes together and let's learn some wonderful truths from this book of Psalms. It is called, at least I have named it, I think maybe some other commentators might agree with me, the Psalm of Confidence. And our real theme we're going to see tonight, how you can live in confidence. So, let's take a look at the first verse. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. There's a law of cause and effect involved in this. If you trust in God, you get preservation. Right. In fact, there's a number of things you get. We're going to look at them in a moment. But I want to talk about this trusting thing. Because years ago, and I haven't done it in recent years, but I always enjoyed getting together with a pile of people, parents and children, and we would go to a ropes course, similar to the training for the Marines. And we would spend a whole day from early morning till night. And we always started out with what was called trust games, where we had to learn to trust one another, because before the day was over, we would be climbing up a 40-foot pole, standing on the end of it and leaping 20 feet in an attempt to reach a rope and swing down. And there were other, we started the ground and we worked all the way up to, that was the zenith of the day. I watched 16-year-old kids shaking. I mean, they would climb up a tree and there would be a pole about only 15 feet in the air to another tree. And here was the job. It was to walk across that pole to the other side and back. And I remember this one little girl, she's 16 years old, she stood in the middle. She finally let go of the tree and took a few steps, got to the middle, and tears pouring down her face. I can't do this. I can't do this. And we watched in amazement as everybody's on the bottom, down on the floor, ground, cheering her. And she gets to the other side and back. And you had to do a free fall. You have a life jacket on and a rope. And so she had to do a free fall backwards. And somebody's holding the rope to let you down slowly. And I remember when her feet touched the ground, she said, I did it! I did it! I did it! And she actually got her way to go home and tell her parents about it. Well, we did those low-level games and progressed until the optimum was the jump off a 40-foot pole in the air. Even standing on the end of the pole was a big victory for anybody. So, we had to learn how to trust, and so there were trust games. Here's one where you stand in the middle and everybody else is going to, you're blindfolded and you just got to let yourself go and you have to trust those that are around you. In fact, all kinds of different trust games we learned. We learned some of them were blindfolded games, and this one probably is the one I recollect where we almost, well, the one we started with, where you stood. We had a tree stump that was about 5 feet in the air, and everybody would get their turn to stand up on top of it, blindfolded, and then they would have to fall over backward into the waiting arms of your friends down below. Now, that may seem like an easy thing to you, but maybe we should stop, and some of you should come up here, and we should try this. And we'll just find out. Because, you see, just trusting isn't always easy. Now, you want to know that those people down at the bottom are doing the catching, that they're trustworthy. You know, you don't want somebody there who, when you're about to let go, says, hey, let's all back up and let you go. I mean, that would not be nice. And but learning to trust one another in this environment, and it's not unlike what the military has to do. I mean, when you're going into combat zone, and you're going to be shoulders, you want to know you can trust the guys beside you. And so trust is a really important thing. So this scripture comes tonight to first introduce this idea of trust. In thee do I put my trust. Now, I want you to catch four benefits of trusting God. Let's take a look at them real quick. The benefits of trusting God. Number one, the scripture says that you will be blessed. Blessed are they. Now watch this, because it's not just they. Blessed are all they that put their trust in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord brings about blessing in your life that you wouldn't otherwise get. Now, I don't know if I can articulate it as well as it should be done, but let me try. There are in life cause and effect happenings all the time. That is to say that a certain cause produces a dynamic that results in some kind of phenomena. Now, this is going to be true about your mental health. There are cause and effects that relate to mental health and emotional stability and spiritual well-being. And without the cause, you don't get the effect. Now, God comes along here and he says, now watch this, because if you will trust me, there are dynamics that will occur in your life that will bring blessedness. Now, that should be wonderful news for you. So if you put your trust in the Lord, there is going to come into your life a group of energies, positive energies, dynamics, if you please, results that are going to be a plus for you and not a minus. Something that's going to make you better or more built up and not lesser. So, first of all, blessedness comes to those who put their trust in the Lord. And then another thing is joyfulness. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them shout for joy because thou defends them. Look at this now. Now, I want you to know that God doesn't want you living sad. He doesn't want you depressed and discouraged and worried and embittered and weighed down. He wants you, according to the scriptures, he wants you like the feet of a deer. He wants you to be able to ride upon the high places of the earth. Now, if we do not trust him, the chances of getting that kind of blessedness and that kind of joy is greatly diminished. Because people are trusting everything else. People are putting their trust in the dollar bill, putting their trust in the economy, trust in their job, trust in their skills, trust in... And all those things have an ebb and flow to them, but not when you trust in God. A constant condition of joyfulness, which is the exaltation of my inward spirit that comes from genuine harmony with God and with others. So joyfulness comes from trust. And then protection. Now, this preface to this idea, let me show you this idea first. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Now, I want to take you back to that picture of a moment ago and put you up on the wooden block and a group of friends around, and you can't use your hands and you're blindfolded and you just got to let yourself fall into their waiting arms. The care, the worry is diminished because of the quality of those you're trusting, right? But I want to tell you something else that occurs. Another dynamic occurs. I remember, because I had been there a number of times with youth groups and their parents and doing this kind of thing. I used to do this frequently. Those kids that were around knew that they were going to get up on the block one of these times, right? But regardless of that, those kids that were waiting to catch you in their open arms knew, because they were being trusted, they took up a special measure of care about you. When you put your trust in God, he does for you what he might not otherwise do if you were not trusting. Because when somebody trusts you, the call to duty is escalated. You feel the responsibility. And so this wonderful being of God, when we put our trust in Him, He says He is a shield to us. Now watch, because the preface of this verse is kind of important. It says that every word of God is pure. In other words, He's not going to give you an instruction that is going to be damaging or hurtful or disabling. It's good instruction. And that's why trusting Him should become a whole lot easier. And if you trust Him, one of the benefits is He will be a shield to you and you'll get protection. And the fourth one, which begins our scripture tonight in Psalm 16, is preservation. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. Now, I don't know if you've got it straight. I hope you have, but if not, I certainly want you to see it. I want us to go now to these scriptures, because this particular psalm is designed to give us the elements that if we do them, we can live in absolute confidence. 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 That's a really good thing. Confidence is the opposite to uncertainty. It's the opposite to worry. No fretting. No disturbing emotions. No mental disturbances. No spiritual shaking up. Confidence. Now let's see if we can find in this passage all these elements that if we have them, build that condition of confidence. Why is this important? It's probably especially important right now because we live in what some would describe as uncertain times. Unstable times. A lot of stuff happening. Lots of this stuff is trying to get into your life and busy you and frustrate you and cause you anxiety and fear, and fear has torment to it. God wants you to live in confidence. Okay, so what is the basis of strong confidence? Number one, we have confidence because we trust somebody who's trustworthy. I am preserved because I trust. I trust God. Can you say that from your heart? I trust God. I trust what He says. I trust His word to be true. I trust His promises will come to pass. I trust. And because of this, we are assured by the Lord that He'll preserve us. So that leads, of course, to confidence. Number two. Oh, let me go back to the New Testament. Sorry, I want to get that. Look at this. Being confident. Look at this. Isn't this wonderful? Being confident of this very thing. Now watch this. That He, referring to God, who has begun a good work in you, He isn't going to quit. He's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It isn't over. He's going to stick with you all the way. That's what we mean by preserved. Kept. Isn't that what another scripture says? Who are kept by the promises of God. So, He preserves us because we trust. And then, in the psalm, David says this, "Oh, my soul, oh, my mind, oh, my emotions, oh, my will, you have said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord." He got confidence by constantly affirming to his soul that the Lord was his Lord, that he was under management, that he was under an authority. You are my God, in Thee do I trust. Yeah? So let me tell you something. You have a right to a great measure of confidence simply because you say to yourself, yeah, Jesus is my Lord. He's the boss, he's the ruler, I'm following him. In fact, the scripture says this is so important that if a man shall confess with his mouth that Jesus is his Lord and believe in his heart that God has raised from the dead, you'll be saved. You're going to be saved from mental, emotional pain simply because you have established Jesus Christ as your Lord. That should give you confidence. Why should that bolster your confidence? I think the answer is in that scripture that most of you know so well. If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, the best decision I ever made in my life. And Mr., Mrs., the best thing you could ever do in your life is bring your life under the management of Jesus. Because from then forward, you relax. Man, you're under control of somebody. Your life is in the hands of an artist that makes no blunders. When you make Jesus your Lord, Ephesians 2:10 comes along and says that you become His workmanship. And He that started this good thing in you is going to keep performing it till the end. Stop worrying. You're in process. You're growing forward. So, you get confidence from affirming that Jesus is Lord. Now, I want you not to miss this. Who should you tell this to? Who should you tell that Jesus is your Lord? Well, Scripture says that if we don't confess Him before others, He won't be confessed before the angels in heaven. So that telling other people is a good idea. But this scripture says that you need to tell yourself. Now, make no mistake about it. And if you're worried about your sanity because you talk to yourself, stop worrying because everybody talks to themselves. The ones who have trouble are those who talk back. Those who get in an argument with themselves. Now, that's a different deal. But talking to yourself is a good idea. David said in Psalm 103, he said, my soul, he learned to command his soul. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Come on, soul. I'm telling you, soul, start blessing the Lord. Now, you need to speak to your soul. If you let your emotions run away with you in a wrong direction, how are you ever going to get them back? The answer is you need to speak to your soul. You need to command your soul. And you say, soul, the Lord God is your Lord. Him shall you obey. And so affirming the authority of Jesus to yourself as well as others is really important. Then third, O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. Now watch this. Now watch this. Because the last half of this verse is really something. Look at this. My goodness, or the good things that I do, does not extend to thee, even though you're the Lord. Now watch the next verse. Because this phrase is merged, sequential, to the next verse. Watch here now. My goodness extends not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth. So, this third bolster of confidence that you have is because you do good to the saints. Now, dear Catholic friends, you don't have to die to become a saint. Just heads up about that. I don't know about you, but I am looking at a few saints right here tonight. Here's Saint Anita right down here. And I don't say this very often, but this is Saint Judith right here too. You know, how do you see one another? How do you see one another? God says you have become saints. Saints in the earth. Now, David says, and this is where confidence comes, okay? He says, you're my Lord, but my goodness doesn't extend to you, but to the saints that are in the earth. Now, would you like a New Testament ring of truth about this? You remember what Jesus said to the disciples one time? He said, inasmuch as you have done it unto these, my brethren, you visited the sick, you went to those in prison, you gave a cup of water in my name. They said, Master, when do we do that? When do we give a Coca-Cola to somebody? Oh, excuse me, a glass of water. When do we see you in prison and visit you? When were you sick and we came to see you? And he said, because you did it to them, you're doing it to me. We treat God the way we treat fellow saints. Well, let me help you get that connection in case you haven't got it. Jesus came along. He gave this astounding truth. And this is what he said. He said, now you are, Scripture says, Paul said, you are the body of Jesus. That means you are to Jesus today what his body was to him when he was 2,000 years ago. You are his body. You are his hands. You are his feet. You are his spokesperson. You listen to the call for help with your ears. You see the human need with your eyes. You are the body of Jesus. So whenever you treat a fellow Christian properly and do good to the saints, you are doing it to the Lord. Watch. Watch this verse. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of doing good. People try to wear you out, but don't let them wear you out. Don't get weary in well-doing. For in due season we will reap if we faint not. Now watch the next verse. As we have opportunity, therefore, let us do good unto all men, watch now, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Are you doing good to the saints? Then you ought to square your shoulders, tell the devil to take a hike with all of his false accusations about how no good you are. Lord, I tell my soul you are my Lord, but my goodness doesn't extend to you, but to the saints that are in the earth. Ah. And so we have both covenants to saints that are in the earth. All right, number four, reason for confidence. And, you know, I hate to really rush through this because, the devil wants you to think poorly of yourself. He wants you to get down on yourself. And in fact, he even will help other people help you get there. And I'm telling you, you will lose your peace and you will lose your mental strength and your emotional stability if you let the negative, condemning thoughts of anybody else, close or far away, relative or friend or foe, if you let their thoughts become your thoughts, I say to you, if you're doing good to the saints, And they may not think you did good. It doesn't matter what they think. Because who's your Lord? Not them. Listen to this scripture. We know it so well. To one's own master he rises or falls. Jesus asked them one time, how can you who receive the honor that comes from men be true followers when the only thing that counts is the honor that comes from God? If you let the opinions of other people get too high, too important to you, it will destroy your heart and soul and mind. All right. So my goodness doesn't extend to you, but to the saints that are in the earth. And to the excellent in whom is all my delight. So what we do here is we make the fellow followers of Jesus our fellowship circle. We do good to them. We commit to them. And we help them become excellent. And what do? We take delight in them. Are you taking delight in your fellow travelers on the road to eternal life? When we get here, we should be so ready to shout over, rejoice over one another. And that is a basis for confidence. Because we have the right circle of friends. We don't let people in the fellowship circle who are not in right relationship. How can two walk together except to be agreed, right? Okay. Number five. You can have confidence because we refuse to be dominated by any form of idolatry. Nothing and nobody else rules us but Jesus. Look at this now. Those that hasten after another god, sorrows shall be multiplied to them. Yo, that's trouble. Now, notice the small g on God, because the fact is there are no other real competing gods. Did you know that? When we talk about other gods, we're talking about idols. We're talking about things that people set up in the proper, in the position, in the replacement position of God. And so we turn them into our gods and they begin to rule our thinking, our mind, our energies, our spending, etc. Right? Don't let anybody rule you but God. And if you do not allow, and God's come in strange shapes, I'm telling you. Sometimes they're just dumb pieces of metal. Some have wheels on them. Some have sound boxes on them. Got all kinds of stuff. You've got to have that thing. That thing possesses you. Could be a person, place, thing. Could be a situation. It could be an experience. And we let that thing rule us. And of course what happens is multiplied sorrows. Well, there's all of that. But when God rules our life, whoa, we say no to all those idols, no sorrows. You ought to be really confident because you have the real, true, living, and only God ruling in your life. The confident builder. I refuse domination by forms of idolatry. Abstain from the destructive ways of those idols. Look at this. Their drink offerings of blood, I'm not going to offer them. I am not going to put my money on them. I'm not going to abstain from destructive ways of idols. And I tell you, that is a basis for confidence. Do you know how many people today are doing self-destructive behaviors? Wow. Beyond the scope of us to spend much more time on that. But watch this next one now. I don't even talk about their false ways. Look at this now. Their drink offerings I'll not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. Now, if you're looking for a New Testament counterpart to this idea, and they're not hard to find, they're all over the Bible. Isn't that wonderful thing about the Bible? It doesn't say something once. It's repeated, reviewed, and elaborated on in other parts of the Scripture. That the Bible is its best own interpreter, you see. But if you want to go to the New Testament there, and you go to the last verse of Romans chapter 16, I believe it is. I want you wise concerning that which is good and simple concerning evil. Watch this now. I don't even put the names of those false gods on my lips. I don't talk about them. I don't listen to other people talk about them. They're not going to come out of my lips. You know, when you talk about something, you give it power. Even acknowledging some things is a conveyance of power that the thing shouldn't have. That's why be careful that you don't do too much news. You know, bad stuff. I mean, and some of the bad stuff, I mean, it doesn't hurt them, I suppose, to know what's kind of going on. But there's some bad stuff that's of an evil sort that shouldn't even be given rent space in our minds. Mrs. and I have been on somewhat of a fast. Now, we rarely watch television. We pick up the news periodically, and for the last 3 months, I'm guessing I can't count the number of times on two hands that we have even watched the news in the last 30 days. It just got to me. It just got too much stuff. I end up talking about evil that's going on in the world. I don't want to talk about the evil. I don't want to give it power. I don't want to propagate it. I don't want to be part of the propaganda machine. So, the false ways don't even get to my lips. Give me another thought here. Remember the scripture. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's another good reason to watch what comes out here. Because if you take too much in here and too much in here, it gets down in here and it comes back out here. Huh? Watch out. Don't even talk about, don't even take their names to your lips. Now the psalmist David says, the Lord is my portion. He is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. So, it's simply saying, whoa, the Lord's my portion. That's the main stuff. God comes first. First, every time, always, God's first. God first. That's why he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Other stuff that would take his proper place. See? So, now this is kind of interesting because I want you to look at this last phrase. Thou maintainest my lot. I love what one translation says. I put God first and so he puts me first. I put him first so he looks after me. He maintains my lot. Now, it's not talking about your house. It could be. could be the lot in which you're, it could be literally your lot, I suppose. But your domain, your dimension, your stuff, when you make the Lord first, He can look after the rest of the stuff. One New Testament version of the same? Okay? Seek ye first kingdom of God and His rightness. And what happens to the rest? And all the rest will be added unto you. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. It's what I eat, drink, I live this thing. And so what does He do? He maintains all the rest that gets added unto me. Now, this next verse, the psalmist said, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. The reference is actually to your living quarters. So, you should be happy about that. With food and raiment, let us be content. And beyond that, you have these lines are referring to boundaries. As a surveyor sets up boundaries or lines, this is your homestead kind of thing, okay? So the lines are falling unto me, and this is a pleasant place. Your home ought to be the most pleasant place on the planet. When you come home and walk through those doors, it's a sanctuary. Don't let stuff, any stuff, get in there and ruin sanctuary. It's been an old poem, Prayer for My House. Some of the lines in it would end like this. Here end the trials of the day. Leave out all that stuff at the doorstep. Person's home. Sacred ground. Careful what you allow into it. Whether by print or by picture or by junk. Okay, I won't mess with you. Or by electronic media. Or even the people. When people come into your home, they're coming into your sanctuary, your jurisdiction. You set the rules there. They don't want to plot. You're welcome here, but here's how our home works. That's why when people come to stay at our home, they come to church on Sunday morning. That's part of the rule. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I know lots of people have company and they stay away with the company. Something wrong with the picture. It's not a bad idea if you have a lot of company to give them an official welcome and hand them. You can make it a full 3-ring binder full if you want to. I know because you're in my house and I want you here that you'll want to know how our house operates. So here's the first 10 commandments that we all follow. And so we've got that document. You can have 10 commands for the household. It has to do with how you treat people in the house, one another, how you talk. It's about behavior. It's about how you treat the furniture and the assets. It's about staying clean. So if those grandkids aren't careful, they'll have to go to the hotel. All right. We're fighting the clock here. have a godly heritage. Do you know that? You know, if this one idea right here, not godly, a goodly heritage, you got stuff coming for you that's good and it hasn't arrived yet, but it will. Do you see how that ought to let you be confident in your walk with God? Let me show you the New Testament equivalent. We are the children of God, and if we're children, then we are heirs. Look at this now. Heirs of God. Now this is like really over the top. We are joint heirs with Christ. Whoa. I want these scriptures to drive your insecurities out of you. I want these scriptures to shake loose all the negative worry, concern, and mental and emotional baggage that you shouldn't have to carry. Instead, you can walk with your shoulders squared, your head up, chin up. Chin up, but not your nose, right? Right. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Now, if that's not a confidence builder, I don't know what is. I get my counsel from God. In fact, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel that comes from anybody who is ungodly. Ungodlike. That's what that means. Don't you love Isaiah? What a prophet. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Whoa, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and of his peace, there shall be no end. He's a counselor. Watch out. Lots of stuff comes under the guise of counsel. But look at this now. I get my counsel from God. And if you are getting your counsel from God, don't get your counsel from... I was in the doctor's office waiting yesterday, having a look at my foot. My goodness, big old television in there, and these four women were given advice that was so ungodly. I looked around the room, was glad it was empty, and there was the only one there, and I could close bug my ears. Absolute junk. Magazines given advice of ungodly natures. Penetrated the culture. You know, I don't know about you, but I really feel good knowing that what I do comes from the guidance of somebody who's as wise and as loving as he is to me. God. Wow. Now watch this. I will bless the Lord because he gives me my advice. And my reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Now, I wish I had 20 minutes on this, but I don't. The reins on a horse is how you steer the horse. You neck rein or you jerk the reins, whatever. It's how you steer. God, you know, the scripture says he gives his beloved rest, sleep. Your sleep ought not to be intruded by the enemy. Maybe you should get our video on the four biblical causes of dreams. But watch this. God wants to, in your sleep, and quite frankly, he he almost does it better for me than when I'm awake, because when I'm awake, my mental resistance is, when I'm sleeping, like, he's got me, you know, like, I'm laying there in this mystery, in this inert condition. He asked Mrs. Johnson how many times I get up in the middle of the night to write stuff down, or I wake her up loud. Is it true? And what's happening is God, see, look at this now. See, you belong to God. He said he wants to preserve you, like he's got a vested interest to make you and lead you and guide you. And when you're sound asleep, the blessed Spirit of God can put stuff in you, can't come from anywhere else. He instructs you at the steering level of your life. What's the steering level of your life? It's your will. Your will is like the front wheel of a bicycle. The rest of the machine goes whatever way the front wheel goes. So God wants to touch you, speak to you. Listen, beloved, he actually makes deposits in you in your sleep. Now, you want to be sure it's God? Well, that's not very difficult to do. You just open the book and confirm it. Amen? Hold on. Okay. I have the Lord always before me. And this is another confidence builder. I stay conscious of the Lord. And as a consequence, he's there. And whatever, he's not running anywhere. He's not forsaken. You let him blow, I'm with you always. I've set the Lord always before me. All keeping God in that number one counsel advisory condition. And because I do that, he is at my right hand. He's there for me. Now look at the next and closing phrase of this verse. I shall not be moved. Talk about stability. Talk about confidence. Whew, it's yours. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. I'm happy from the inside out and from the outside in. Oh, my glory rejoices. And I haven't got time to probably take you through the details of that. Remember, all sin that comes short of the glory. When you become a follower of the Lord, you get your glory back. You get the conditions back that you lost. And even they begin to rejoice. Well, look at this. Confidence, my flesh shall rest. Rest, whoa, rest in hope. My future is bright. Now, Jesus quoted this verse. And you can quote it too. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. And you will not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Oh, the future is really bright. That ought to just build your confidence. My. The translators, because Jesus quoted this, put the Holy One in capital letters. But it applies equally to you. And then lastly, thou wilt show me the path of life. That's confidence. He is not going to desert. He's going to show you the path of life. So you have confidence because you're on the path and you're going to stay on the path. And whoa. In thy presence there's fullness of joy. It's a happy, happy road. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. All these things are designed. It's the psalm of confidence. These are the confidence builders outlined in the psalm. What are they? I'm preserved because I trust in God. I affirm God's authority of my life. You are my Lord. I do good to the saints, especially those of the household of faith. All the fellow followers, they are my fellowship circle. I refuse dominion by any form of idolatry. I abstain from the destructive ways of idols. I don't even talk about them. Don't let them come to my lips. God is my first choice, always, always, and only. I have a nice home and I'm heir. I got good stuff still coming. I happily get all my advice from the Lord. I stay conscious of the Lord and He's always there for me. I'm happy from the inside out and the outside, and my future is bright. And I am on, and I'm going to stay on the path of life where there's fullness of joy, and at His right hand pleasures forevermore. Beloved, here it is. This is the stuff. God wants you to walk in confidence. Sure-footed, no tripping, no falling, nor necessary. For these reasons, we say amen.
Amen.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.